We live in a world where people look for quick fixes. How to do it quickly, how to do it easily, how to get my homework done, how to get past a test. Tonight, I'd like to share with you the quick fix of tshuva. As we approach Yom Ha'aron, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we're going to spend a lot of time next door. And based on what we learned tonight, what all of us learned tonight, tshuva is not something that needs to be so far out of reach. Like the Ramban says, Ki ha-mitzvah azos, it's not too far, it's not too difficult, it's not up in the sky, it's not across the sea. And we see that from the paradigm of tshuva, and maybe a paragon of tshuva, in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Because we learn about Elazar ben Dodaya. Elazar ben Dodaya was a Baal Taiva Legamre. He could not stop himself. Any physical desire that he had to run after, to such an extent that there was not a single zona in the entire world that he had not met. And so one day he hears about another woman that he'd never interacted with before. And he says, I got to spend a lot of money and I got to put a lot of time and effort into meeting this woman. He travels across half the world and he finally meets this lady. And before they're able to really meet, something unusual happens. Gemara says she passes gas. Maybe she burps. And that stops. It stops what's going on. And then she says something unexpected. You don't usually get mussar from this kind of lady. She says, just like that heir will never return to me, so too Elazar ben Dardaya can never do tshuva. Thrown for a loop, he's not used to getting this kind of mussar. He decides he needs to do tshuva. He goes into a panic. And he runs into a valley and he looks at the two mountains and says, please, mountains, beg mercy for me. And the mountains say, we can't do that. And then he turns to the trees and he says, beg mercy for me. And the trees can't help him. And the sun and the moon and the stars, and nobody can help Elazar ben Dardaya. What is he going to do? He looks internally and says, En ha-davatoloi elabi. It's up to me. Only I can fix the mistakes that I've made. Gemara says that he puts his head between his knees and he cries. And he cries and he cries and he cries until his soul leaves him. And then the most surprising part of this Gemara is as follows. Because when Elazar ben Dardaya dies, a bas kol rings out. A heavenly voice rings out and says, welcome to Olam Haba, Elazar ben Dardaya. Not Elazar ben Dardaya, sorry. Welcome to Olam Haba, Rebbe Elazar ben Dardaya. Not only was he able to accomplish tshuva, someone who was seeped in tuma, but he became a Rebbe. When Rebbe Yehuda Anasi heard this story, he started crying. Baka Rebbe. And he says a line that we need to know. Yesh kona olamo bekama shanim, v'yesh kona olamo b'sha'a achas. There are those who acquire their world in many, many years, bekama shanim, and there are those who acquire their world b'sha'a achas, in just one hour, just one moment. So powerful is tshuva that it can happen in just a moment. It can happen with the singular realization that I can be better, that I want to be better, that there's more to me, there's more to my life that I'm living right now. And that might happen during shofar blowing Rosh Hashanah. It might happen during the Ilan Yom Kippur. It might even happen on a Tuesday morning during Shir. But tshuva is something that can happen instantaneously in just a single moment. There's another way to understand this Gemara. The way that I like to read this Gemara, based on the Maggid of Mezrich, the second Hasidic Rebbe master, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. I heard it from the Rav Shai Schechter Shlita. But in order to understand this second Mahalach, we need to hear a story. So there's a story from the end of the 1800s about a guy named Alfred. Alfred was a genius inventor. He had over 350 patents. And Alfred is coming to the end of his life, very proud of all that he accomplished. Because amongst his many, many inventions, he invented something that changed the world. He invented dynamite. And dynamite, he envisioned being used for construction. He envisioned being used to clear areas away. This was going to help the world so much. He had made such a contribution to the world. This was going to be his legacy. One morning, Nobel wakes up. Alfred Nobel wakes up to the unfortunate news that his brother Ludwig Nobel had passed away. Distraught, he sits down to read the newspaper, just trying to distract his, to put his thoughts somewhere. And he sees something even more concerning. Because the newspapers got the wrong report. They didn't realize that it was Ludwig Nobel who had died. They thought that Alfred Nobel had passed away. And so he's about to read his own eulogy. He's about to see the legacy that he left behind. But the headline read, "The Merchant of Death is Dead." One line from the article read, "Dr. Alfred Nobel, who became rich by finding ways to kill more people faster than ever before, died yesterday." Because despite what he had tried to accomplish with his inventions, dynamite was used in wars. It was used to create explosions. It was used to hurt and kill people. And so now Nobel's got a problem, because the legacy that he thought he was leaving behind was actually much, much worse. See, the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Nun Hei, when Aleph tells us about Mazalos, about astrology. And while Rabbi Yochanan says we don't hold this way anyway, let's learn a little bit about astrology. Because we'll find out that if someone's born under Jupiter, born under Tzedek, then they're going to be a righteous individual, someone who does just things, who does tzedek. If someone is born under Venus, they're going to be rich. And a few more examples. And the last example in the Gemara is if someone is born under Mars. Someone's born under Mars, the red planet, under Ma'adim, they're going to be red. They're going to be a blood spiller. And sitting in the Beis Medrash, Rabbi hears us and says, "Hold on. I was born under Mars. I'm not a blood spiller. I don't kill people." At which point in time, his Talmud Abaye says, "Rebbe, bechavod, you do kill people. Obviously, you're not a thief, you're not a murderer, but you sentence people to death on your Beis Din. There is blood on your hands." What we see from this Gemara is that no one can escape their mazel. No one can escape the attributes that they're born with. We all have attributes that we're born with that are innate within us, and we cannot pretend like we can get out of them. They will be with us forever. But if you're born under Mars, you have two options. You can be a thief, you can be a murderer, and there could be blood on your hands because of that. Or you could be a shochet. You could be a moel, you could be on a Beis Din. The blood will always be there, but did you use it for Ratzon Hashem? Because Nobel has the same issue. Nobel has very negative attributes. He created something that is destructive. He amassed a fortune with something that killed so many people. But he's an inventor, so he's going to invent one more thing. He decides that he's going to create an award, a prize, for, quote, "contributions that have conferred the greatest benefit to mankind." What does Nobel create? The Nobel Prize. And now when you hear the name Nobel, you don't think destruction, you don't think murder, you don't think death, you don't think dynamite. You think tremendous contributions to the world. You think that this individual is responsible, takes credit for making the world a better place, and not chas v'shalom worse. So with that, we can understand the second mahalach in our Gemara. You can understand why Rebbe's crying, what Rebbe's crying about. Because Rebbe's crying and says, "Yesh kona olamo b'kama shonim, yesh kona olamo b'sha'a achas." And we could translate the words maybe appropriately, maybe correctly, maybe get an 100 of Rabbi Haskell's tests. But Hasidim were able to mix up the words a little bit. Maybe I'll add in a little bit of my own. Because some people acquire the olam with lots of shonim. Not lots of years, but lots of differences. Lashon of shinoi. Some people say, "I got to be different, I got to change," and they change everything about themselves. They change the way they talk, they change the way they dress, they change the way they shake hands, the things that they do in their free time. Their interests go out the window, and they decide that this is the only thing I'm going to do. They become a one-dimensional individual. They change many shanim. And that is one form of tshuva. That is a totally possible form of tshuva. We know people who have taken that route. But it's not the only path of tshuva. Because Rebbe says, "Yesh kona olamo b'sha'a achas." And if we have any Bali Kriya in the room, Shah in Chumash doesn't mean hour. Shah in Chumash means to turn. That when Kayin offers a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take the carbon. V'el Kayin, v'el minchaso, lo sha'a. Sha'a achas means that they just need to turn a little bit. Because maybe you've been born under Mars. Maybe you are a violent person. But that doesn't mean you need to be a murderer. It might mean you could be a moa. It might mean you could be a shoki. You could be a soldier and defend Klal Yisrael. You might be a loud, boisterous individual, but it doesn't mean that you need to be the person always interrupting Shir. Instead, you could be the person getting people fired up to learn Mishmar. You could get people fired up to win intramurals. You could be the person who's waking your friends up so that they don't fall asleep during Shir. You could use your koach for the good. Maybe someone's argumentative, and you might throw your hands up and say, I can't help it. I'm going to get into a fight with my teachers, with my rebbeim, with my friends. But maybe instead of throwing your hands up, giving up, and saying, Nebuch, this is my mazel, instead you could say, I can use this nature, this argumentative spirit, and get pshat in the Gemara, and understand every svara of Rav and Abaye. I can understand Gemara better than anyone else, because no one else is as difficult and frustrating and annoying as I am. Every meter that we have can be used for the negative, but it can also be used for the positive. Tshuva does not need to be changing it into someone else. Tshuva can be taking the midos that I have, taking the person that I already am, and turning it, adjusting it, just a tiny bit. My Rebbe, Chief Rabbi of the Old City, Rav Chizkiya Nebensal, used to tell me that when someone shoots an arrow straight, it doesn't look like much, but a few hundred yards down, it lands on your target. But if someone's off just a tiny bit, you're just a little bit to the left, an inch, half an inch, 100 yards down, it looks very, very different. That slight sha'a, that slight turn that we can make in the coming days can make a massive difference, have massive ramifications going forward. The hour is late, and so I just want to end with this one quick thought. We're often very concerned in this time of tshuva that I need to reinvent myself, but it's not true. We don't need to become new people. All we need to do is to take the kokos that we already have and turn them toward a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Have a good night and exceed with a chasima tov.